Today we celebrate the ascension of our Lord that typically, or in the past, and really even now, it's the ascension is typically celebrated on Thursday of the sixth week of Easter. But in our diocese, and actually most of the diocese of the United States, it's transferred to the celebration of the solemnity is transferred to Sunday, today, of the seventh Sunday of Easter. So we have the celebration of the ascension, and every time I read this gospel passage from Matthew 28, it's the very end, the last couple of sentences of Matthew's gospel. It's a great commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. It kind of reminds me of when my mom and dad would be leaving for a trip when we were kids. And it was like, yes, mom or dad are gone. We can do whatever we want. And then they would like hand us this list of chores that we had to do like while they're gone. And of course, we didn't do it till the last 5 minutes. And then we're scrambling because we know mom and dad are pulling in the driveway and we haven't done anything. So Jesus hands this, he's leaving the apostles here, but he entrusts this list of tasks, duties to the apostles that he wants them to do to accomplish. And it's really nothing more than what he's been telling them all along throughout the rest of his ministry. He tells them to go and do three things, three verbs that he leaves them with. Go and do X, Y, and Z. Go, therefore, and make disciples. That's the first verb. Make disciples of all nations. Number two, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And number three, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. To make disciples, baptize all nations, and teach them. What's interesting, and you might think that maybe, it makes more sense to have number one and number three be flipped. To teach all nations, to baptize them, and then make them disciples, right? You would, and really, if you look at the way the church has proceeded in the last couple of decades, that's kind of been the approach. We're going to teach you guys all about Jesus, and then we'll baptize you, and then we'll make you disciples. But that's not the order that Jesus gave us. Make disciples, and then baptize, and then teach them. It's very, very interesting. When you look at the church today in the United States, There's both signs of hope and signs of great trouble, great tragedy. Even, I don't know if you read the article in the Wichita Eagle this morning or even yesterday, said something like, I forget the exact headline, but it's something along the lines of, in the midst of declining church population, the Diocese of Wichita ordained 10 men, right? So I was at the ordination yesterday. We ordained 10 men to the priesthood yesterday. Beautiful, gorgeous ceremony. 10 good friends of mine, two of whom will be receiving here at Blessed Sacrament. And the names are, drum roll, Father Andy Burkamp and Father Adam Grillinger. So Father Adam is actually a parishioner of St. Thomas, but they'll be the two new priests coming in to replace me. But, yeah, that was the two first-round draft picks, right? So anyways, so we're getting these two priests. But when I read that headline, it just like, it was like a backhanded compliment to the Diocese of Wichita. So we're ordaining 10 men, which is unusually high. That's a record for our diocese. The highest we've had is 5 or 6. We ordained 10 men this year. We will ordain 10 men next year. So there's something going on. There's something in the Diocese of Wichita that's going on. But you look across the nation statistically. This morning, I read that article, a headline about Diocese of Wichita ordaining 10 men. And then the next article I read online was about the Archdiocese of New York shutting down between 20 and 50 parishes. They're closing them because they don't have priests and because people aren't showing up. And guess what? The population of New York has increased, not decreased. But the Catholicity, the living out of the faith, is dying. Across the nation, you go back to 1977, church attendance was right around 70% on Sunday Mass. 70% of Catholics went to Mass every Sunday just a few decades ago. Today, it's more like 24% nationally. The Diocese of Wichita is a little bit higher, between 40 and 50%. But still, there's something wrong. There's a crisis in our faith. There's something not right with that. And while we can celebrate these 10 men, that's a beautiful, glorious thing. Before we get too far in patting ourselves on the back, remember that the church is suffering even here in the Diocese of Wichita, even in these pews, there are people who are questioning their faith. People who are struggling just with the day-to-day communication with God. And where does Jesus' Great Commission fall into all of that for you and for me? Well, the fact is, what he challenged his apostles to 2,000 years ago when he said goodbye, those three verbs apply to you sitting in these pews as much as it did to them 2,000 years ago, and applies to me as well. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. If the signs that we're seeing, if the signs of our times in terms of decrease in faith, decrease in people's practice of the faith, their understanding of the faith, just they're struggling, the brokenness of humanity today, that we can't ignore that. It's like a plane that's dropped an engine and is going to crash land. We should be waking up. And what happens when the plane's crash landing or there's an issue and the masks drop down? What's the first thing you're supposed to do? For all of you guys who have slept through that announcement 1,000 times on a plane, this exact same thing every time the mask comes down. You put it on yourself first. Before you put it even on your kid, before you even put it on your wife, before you put it on the old man sitting next to you, you got to put it on yourself first. Because if you're passed out from lack of oxygen, you're not going to be any good to anybody. So it is with our faith today. In the 21st century in America, when people are, I'm telling you, there are people just right outside these doors, maybe in these doors, in these pews, who just need some kind of hope to latch onto, and there's nothing. If you're not breathing oxygen and you're passed out in your seat and you're coasting in your faith, your witness is not going to be that strong. And what's interesting is you skip down to the third verb, the teach all nations. What is he asking them to teach? Teach them to observe all that I commanded you. Teach them to observe what I commanded you to do. In other words, the apostles are supposed to be showing other people to live the life that they are already living themselves. Teach them to observe what you are living out. And we've all heard that saying. We've heard it 1,000 times and it becomes cliche. You know, actions speak louder than words. Or the old saying that your life might be the only gospel that someone ever reads. You, the way you live, what you do on Sunday morning, and then what you do on Monday morning after that, what you do on Friday night, that is a gospel that people read. Teach them to observe what I have commanded you. So if you're supposed to be teaching, if we're supposed to be going out and making these disciples, are we actually doing that? That's part of... You've heard Father Yurok and I talk about this again and again and again for the last couple of years, this idea of making disciples. We made that, we have our your parish priority plan and our three priorities of enhancing the Sunday Mass experience, cultivating the interior life, and living this new evangelization. And our goal, our mission statement is to go out and to make disciples, to be a parish of disciples. If you look at all the miracles of Jesus, there's always three groups of people that show up in these various scenes, various gospel stories. The people who show up there because Jesus is multiplying loaves and fishes and there's free food. They want a handout. Or there's this new guy in town and so, you know, they didn't have ESPN, so your other option is to go see this guy work miracles. It's kind of cool. It's a great way to spend an afternoon. So they go because there's some kind of vague curiosity, some sort of vague interest to see what this guy is all about, what he's preaching and doing. That's the crowd. There's always a crowd surrounding Jesus. And then there's another group, the scribes and the Pharisees. They're the ones who rejected him and who are actively seeking to dissuade him, to dissuade the people, to arrest him. But then there's a third crowd, the disciples. the people who believe, the people who come to our Lord like the father of the man who was dying on the cot, and he said, Lord, I know you can heal my son. I believe, help my unbelief. Who's a man who recognized his weakness in faith, but he was willing to do something to reach out in order to help his son. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What a beautiful prayer. And I think for us in the 21st century, that absolutely applies to us as well. In this time of crisis of faith, what are we supposed to be doing? If we're supposed to be going out, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You are being sent. You are being commissioned. I heard a priest one time complain that he felt like the president, his parish and his position as a priest, he said he felt like the president of a middle-class social society. You know, where you go and you gather and you talk and exchange pleasantries and have some donuts and then go home. And it has zero effect on the rest of your life. No wonder why people are leaving. Does that have any impact at all? Does that have any sway? Does that offer any hope? No. And if that's what we become, if we've just become a church of people who pat ourselves on the back and share donuts and dress up once a week, what are we doing? How can we possibly hope to instill faith in somebody else? We can't. If we're going to take this commission seriously, to go out and baptize all nations, to make disciples, the first disciple you got to make, and if you only make one disciple in your entire life, and that's you, you succeeded. I think of St. Charles de Foucauld. He was a saint who lived at the turn of the last century, you know, 18th, 19th, and 20th century. He was a saint who lived in Africa. He became a priest, and he walked around Africa, and he preached to Muslims, and he was kind of a traveler who traveled from city to city. His entire life, he spent 40 years in the deserts of Africa. He made zero converts. He never baptized a single soul, not one. And yet he was canonized a saint. This idea of making disciples, but the thing is, not in his lifetime. But shortly thereafter he died, other missionaries came in, and the church exploded. But he never saw the fruit of his labor. Brothers and sisters, this commission is real. And it's being offered to you. It's being challenged to you. But if our faith is just something we show up and do once a week on Sunday morning, we're missing the point. May we accept this challenge, this invitation of our Lord Jesus to go out and to make disciples.